It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast. And if you're looking for a place to make your online wagers, head over to betonline.ag. And use that glorious promo code podcast1. He is Evan Silva. By the way, that podcast1 code gets you a 50% sign up bonus today. He's Evan Silva, the master of all he oversees at Roto World. Total stud. Love talking with him. You got to get him on Twitter at Evan Silva. Speaking of Twitter, he took all of your responses from your tweets last night for fantasy football winners and losers. Veteran winners, veteran losers, based on what happened in the draft. Should be awesome. I should also tell you that I am Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman. Love fantasy football. It makes every game more interesting. You can check me out at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter and Instagram. If you're a Facebook person, facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. And certainly, you should also be following our producer, Brian Neal. He's at RTF Podcast. That's the first place, time, whatever, where you know when the show is posted. I'll also mention, probably the last time I mentioned it, maybe I'll mention it next week too, but I don't know, but probably not. MyFrontPageStory.com. Best Mother's Day gift I've ever heard of. Whether it's for your mom or your grandma or your wife or whatever, you literally talk to a reporter for 10 minutes. They write an awesome story about your wife or your mom, whoever you want to give it to, and then they send it to you. You give it to your mom or wife, whoever you want to give the gift to, and say, I just want to do something really special for you this year. So I had a story written about you. Awesome. Awesome. Pretty much guarantee they'll cry tears of happiness if you do that. At any rate, let's get into it. We'll start with the veteran fantasy winners. So I know I say this every week when we get another one of Evan's guests on, that I'm very excited. And Evan, he comes highly recommended. But this week, Evan texted me and said, yeah, I've got the best high-stake fantasy player in the world coming on tomorrow. No big deal. His name is Nelson Souza. You can follow him on Twitter at @the_franchise12. So, Nelson, you got to explain this to me. You're the best high-stakes fantasy player in the world? No big deal, right?
That's what Evan would like to call me. I have never self-proclaimed myself as the best player in the world.
All right, so what? How does Evan even know about you?
You know, I've done well for myself in fantasy, but I think just you know, through the years, we've heard each other's name, you know, out there. I think Evan's if he wants to call me the best fantasy player, I think he's the best fantasy analyst in the world. I respect his opinion quite a bit, but I think that's kind of big shoes to fill, so I wouldn't want to put myself up there in that, you know, as the best player in the world. There's a lot of really good players out there.
Well, I agree with Evan as the best analyst. I say it every single week here on the Fantasy Feast. But I do like to get people's background, especially if they're a high-stakes fantasy player for yourself. Your Twitter line says, if you don't take risks, you'll always work for someone who does. So what is your background, Nelson, and what do you do for a living? Or is this now your vocation?
Sure. So what I actually do for a living and what pays the bills, I live in New York, and I own seven Dunkin' Donuts shops in New York. So that's what I do. I got into the Dunkin' franchise about 16 years ago, and that's what I do every day. But, you know, love fantasy, and, you know, that's kind of a second full-time job for me come the fall.
Wow, that's awesome. 7 Dunkin' Donuts. I love it. That's amazing. Dude, how do you not just like crush munchkins all day?
Believe it or not, after, you know, a few years, they actually, you're not interested in munchkins or donuts every day, or you start looking like one.
Yeah, I can imagine. All right, so then how'd you get into high stakes, and where do you play, and give us the breakdown there?
You know, I mean, it started like probably everyone else. You know, you do your, you know, fun local leagues with your buddies, get together every year and do a couple of fantasy drafts. And what I found was I was having success with the local leagues. And I, you know, I'm a competitive guy by nature and wanted to, you know, kind of challenge myself, you know, a little more. And I started doing some research and found, you know, high stakes fantasy football was out there, and that there was a couple of, you know, sites that hosted high stakes fantasy football. And, you know, you had an opportunity to win, you know, 100,000, 250,000. So that appealed to me. And basically, you know, a lot of great players go there to play high stakes fantasy football. So I looked at it as, you know, what better way to challenge myself than to play against, you know, some of the best fantasy players in the world. And, you know, for, you know, high stakes money, a lot of money. So I've partnered with a couple of great guys through the years. One early on was Chad Schroeder, who I would probably say is the best fantasy player in the world. That's my opinion. So we partnered together and early on, and now for the last, I don't know, probably 6-7 years, I've partnered with David Hubbard, who has become a really good friend of mine. And we partner every year. We go out to Vegas. You know, we get in drafts that are, the entry fee is $20,000, $10,000, $5,000. And we've actually through the years have done very well. The $20,000 entry league, which is played at the NFFC, we've won that league twice. And we also play quite a bit at the FFPC, and we've won their main event. This was a couple of years ago. We won their main event for a quarter of a million. So that was, you know, probably a couple of the highlights of my fantasy football career.
Wow, that's awesome. Very, very cool. You might be. You're at least part of what sounds like the best team that's out there. I know, Evan, this was your idea. We wanted to dive into some of the fantasy winners and losers,
yep,
based on how the draft unfolded. And you even did like a Twitter crowdsourcing, right?
Yeah, I mean, just anyone who wanted to, you know, talk about a certain situation was very free to, you know, contribute. And, you know, I kept track of their names, and yeah, let's get it started.
Okay. So number one, and Nelson, I'll hit you up on all of these. Number one, and this comes to us from Risk It for a Biscuit, is Devontae Freeman in Atlanta.
Okay, Devontae Freeman's not. I'm not really a fan of him, so I wouldn't exactly call him a winner. Even though, you know, Atlanta came out of the draft, without really drafting a running back high. They have a very good offensive line, good offense in general. So most would see Freeman as benefiting from that. But Freeman strikes me as kind of like a broken down veteran, concussions, injuries. I just don't think he has it anymore. Great competitor, but I think Ito Smith might be the guy this year in that backfield.
And that's interesting because Ito Smith is going to be way, way cheaper than Devontae Freeman. I mean, the Falcons went hard on their offensive line. They, you know, I think for lack of a better term, overdrafted Chris Lindstrom, although I think that he's going to be a really good player for them at number 14 overall. And then they traded up for your boy, Ross, Caleb McGarry at number 31. And as Nelson mentioned, they did not take a running back high. The only guy that they've added this offseason was Quadri Ellison. I think he was a fifth-round pick out of Pitt. So, I mean, at least on paper, it looks good for Devontae Freeman. So I think it's a good suggestion. But Nelson's saying, hey, you know, don't take Devontae Freeman in the second and third round. Take Ito Smith in the 13th or 14th round. And I think that that's an interesting kind of take on the situation.
Awesome. What about Matt Ryan? Let's keep it in Atlanta. And that came from Alan Echo. I guess, again, you know, you take two offensive linemen in the first round. I guess we could say every Atlanta skill guy benefited.
Yeah, absolutely. I like the kid McGarry. And the Lindstrom kid is, you know, he's a no-nonsense lunch pail kind of offensive lineman. You know, I watched him a little bit at Boston College. You know, I think he eats like nails and screws sandwiches for lunch. You know, that guy's he's got a mean streak in him. So I think the offense in general is, you know, interesting. You know, Matt Ryan with, you know, Julio, Calvin Ridley, Sanu, they got Hooper. They've got a good offense. So I actually like the offense in general and think Matt Ryan is probably in for a solid year.
Anything to add there, Evan, or no?
No, not really. No, I think he covered it pretty well. They didn't really add to their defense. So, you know, and they didn't have much pass rush last year, and they're not going to have a whole lot of pass rush this year. Their only somewhat big addition was Adrian Claiborne, a guy who essentially got cut by the Patriots. So they look like a team that is going to be in a lot of shootouts this year, and that could benefit Matt Ryan.
Let's get to a wide receiver. How about Dede Westbrook, Nelson? And that comes from RotoHack George Krakatis.
Yeah, Westbrook, I've always been a fan of Westbrook since coming into the league. So I actually like this recommendation. When you look at Jacksonville, they upgraded at quarterback with Nick Foles. I think with Hackett there actually, no, Hackett left. But with the offense with Nick Foles, I think they got to go out of the shotgun now. So I think that benefits Dede Westbrook. I think he's the most talented receiver there. Marquise Lee's coming off, you know, a pretty serious injury. So, yeah, I like that one where I could see Westbrook having a good year.
Yeah, new OC DeFilippo. With Nick Foles, and hey, you know, Nick Foles, like you're talking about some guys on the interior that play on the interior. That's where Dede Westbrook lines up. He was sixth among all players in the NFL last year in yards gained from the slot. Nelson Aguilar and Zach Ertz had a lot of big games with Nick Foles there at quarterback. I like Dede Westbrook. Dude won the Biletnikoff Award. What was he? That one year behind Lamar Jackson was like third or fourth in Heisman voting. I mean, he's a really underrated player. The reason that he went in the fourth round, I think, was for some off-field concerns. But he's been very, very productive. I think he's the Jags easily their best pass catcher. They really have very little at tight end. They added the rookie. I think his name's Josh Oliver out of San Jose State. But, man, they did not add at wide receiver, like, at all. They added Chris Conley. That was the guy that they added in free agency and didn't draft one, and just added five undrafted free agents. So they're almost bringing back the exact same receiver core that they had last year. And yeah, I think that Dede Westbrook's going to riff pretty nicely with Nick Foles. I just think he's the best receiver on the team. So I definitely have him as a winner as well.
Getting into the running backs, how about Damian Williams from the Chiefs, Nelson? Jeff Rhino suggested that one.
Damian Williams is not really a guy I'm feeling this year, even though he's part of a great offense. It kind of – you would think that you would want to be excited about you know, anyone in the Kansas City offense, but he's been a, you know, a journeyman running back through the years. You know, started his career with Miami. I think he played there like 3 or 4 years before coming to Kansas City last year. Now all of a sudden we want him to be the bell cow back and to, you know, be fantasy relevant. I think in drafts he's going like somewhere in the third round of fantasy drafts. So, I mean, I just don't, I'm not feeling him this year. So he's not really a guy that I'm looking to add in drafts. They brought in Carlos Hyde, who it's not like I'm really high on Hyde, but Hyde's still a, you know, professional running back that, could play and could easily take over for him. So probably not a guy that I would probably consider a winner.
And they added Darwin Thompson, who's one of the most explosive later round running backs in this year's draft. 39-inch vertical, ran 4.5 flat. He led the entire nation in yards after contact per rushing attempt out at Utah State. And so he could – I would be worried about him cutting into the passing game work of Damian Williams, because that's really where Damian Williams kind of butters his bread. Nelson, forgive me if I'm misremembering this, but don't you have some kind of rule, like if the guy wasn't drafted in fantasy leagues the year before and then all of a sudden he's been I mean, I see Damian Williams going the second round in some early drafts. Don't you have some kind of rule where, like, if the guy isn't drafted the year before and then he's all of a sudden drafted in the top 3 or 4 rounds, like he's just, you're kind of Xing him off your list, or he's a guy that you're letting other people draft? Is that, am I remembering that correctly?
You are. So I call it, so basically any running back that the year prior came onto the fantasy radar and was a waiver wire pickup, the following year, if he's being drafted in the top 4 rounds, he's a fade. You totally fade him, because I call it the Zach Stacy rule, a.k.a. the most recently Alex Collins rule. So any guy that you acquired as a free agent pickup, as a waiver wire pickup in your fantasy, on your fantasy team last year, and now he goes like in the second, third, fourth round, just let him go. Let others take him. It's not going to work out.
I like it. All right, let's keep it moving, and let's get to another running back, Kenyon Drake. This comes to us from Cliff Ritter, Nelson.
I like Drake's talent, and now you got a whole new offense there with Flores coming over from New England. You got Chad O'Shea, who's now the OC there. That one is kind of a wait-and-see approach for me, because – if Chad O'Shea follows in the New England blueprint, you're going to have Ballage and Drake splitting touches there. Drake obviously getting the passing down work along with some carries each game. So it all comes down, can that offense gel? They've got a couple of weapons. They got Parker, who's, you know, really – never developed into that number one wide receiver when he was drafted, but he's got talent. You got Kenny Stills, Albert Wilson there in the middle. You know, Gesicki is, I think, an emerging talent at tight end that, you know, came into the league a little raw, but was never used properly last year. He's more of a move tight end, not a guy looking to, you're not looking to put him in blocking. So, and then they also brought in Dwayne Allen from New England that they're familiar with, and he's going to be the blocking tight end. So I think it's a interesting offense, because the defense is not all that great. So you expect them to be behind in games, and if they're playing from behind, Drake should get the passing down work and get, you know, plenty of receptions. So he's an interesting guy for sure to keep an eye on.
Yeah, he is really interesting, and it's probably just going to come down to draft position. Where is he going to go? I've done a bunch of early drafts, and he's going like 5th to 7th round, I'm not taking him when he's in the when he's going in the fifth, but when he's going in the seventh as like my RB3 or my RB4, you know, he's tempting, you know, and for a lot of the reasons that Nelson illustrated, when they're playing from behind, I think Kenyon Drake is going to be in the game. Is he going to be able to have some games where he gets like 5 to 7 catches? Because, you know, he's an explosive player and he could be a monster in PPR leagues. It's a really interesting year for him and for the Dolphins in general, because we kind of know that they're not going all out to win as a, you know, from a front office standpoint this year, but it's not like the players aren't going to go all out to win. It's not like the coaches aren't going to go all out to win, and they are going to find themselves in, behind in a lot of games. And he can, and if he can have some games where he gets like 5, 6, 7 catches, he's going to be a monster in PPR leagues.
What about David Johnson in Arizona, Nelson? Hayden Winks, who's been on the show before, suggested him.
Yeah, David Johnson was on my fade list last year. It was easy to see with the defensive coordinator from, I think he came from Carolina, Wilkes, was, you know, came in as the head coach. They brought in Mike McCoy, who I've never really been a fan of as an offensive coordinator. They're just not. There's no imagination there on that offense last year. They had the offense, just the talent surrounding him was just total garbage. You know, they had nothing really at wide receiver. Larry Fitzgerald, awesome receiver throughout his career, but he, you know, he's getting up there in age. Doesn't really scare defenses anymore. Offensive line was horrible. Quarterback play, you know, you can't expect Rosen to come in with that O line and everything. They had everything working against them. Now you flip the page to 2019. You've got, you know, new head coach that is a, I think, you know, one of the bright young offensive minds, you know, in like McVay coming in. They improved the O-line. They improved the weapons around them. You know, they drafted Kyler Murray, who's a running quarterback, so they add that dynamic to pair with David Johnson. They have Christian Kirk now in his second year, and then they drafted Isabella and some guy. I think Evan kind of likes him a little bit. Some guy named Hakeem Butler. So they improved the weapons dramatically around David Johnson. So I expect, you know, a bounce back here from him.
Good. Love to hear that. I mean, it's been 2 years now since we've seen David Johnson really be the stud, you know, that he can be. It's been a while. I mean, he missed almost all of 2017. And then 2018, you know, it was just the, you know, a really bad situation. No one was productive in that situation. And they have a lot more playmakers now, you know, adding the running element with the new quarterback, I think, can really help the running game in general. And Christian Kirk, Hakeem Butler, Andy Isabella. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how deep into spread offense is Cliff Kingsbury going to go. Because, I mean, hey, this is a guy that played at Texas Tech, has coached at Texas Tech, you know, came up under Mike Leach as both a player and a coach. How deep are they going to go into the spread offense? And they've got some pieces. They traded for up front. They traded for Marcus Gilbert from the Steelers. They signed Max Garcia and J.R. Sweezy. I still think it's probably a bottom five offensive line. But, hey, this new mobile quarterback might make it look a lot better. Last year they're playing with what? Last couple years they're playing with what? Josh Rosen, Sam Bradford. I mean, those guys are not going to make an offensive line look better. I think that to the kind of in the same way that Russell Wilson has overcome bad offensive lines in Seattle, we could see a similar dynamic with Kyler Murray in Arizona.
How about a couple of running backs in Tampa, Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones? This is from Nick Beer, Nelson.
I can see with Bruce Arians coming back into the NFL where the excitement is coming from. You know, Barber's just kind of he's just a guy to me at running back. Doesn't do anything, you know, special for me. So he's not that great of a talent. Ronald Jones is the guy the kid that they drafted high last year. I actually got a couple of friends throughout the NFL that every once in a while they'll shoot me a text with some interesting information. And I was high on Ronald Jones actually last year, and my buddy actually told me, just stop drafting him. The kid's not ready for the NFL. And when I asked him, what do you mean? He said, listen, he's out here in LA at my club, and he's smoking pot and eating cheeseburgers. And this was right before like training camp was getting ready to start. And he's like, I'm telling you, this kid's not in shape. He doesn't get it. It's going to take him a year maybe to understand what it is to be a true pro. So I laid off him, and sure enough, Ronald Jones face planted and just never got out of that doghouse with the coaching staff there last year. So this year, who knows? I mean, I know they brought in, his running back coach from USC to Tampa. So I don't know if that's going to be a wake-up call for the kid, and he finally figures it out and he comes into camp in shape. He's got talent. Bruce Arians is there, good offense. So that one I'm taking a wait-and-see approach until, my buddy tells me what his thoughts are.
Smoking pot and eating cheeseburgers, I mean, that sounds like a fun Friday night to me. But, I'm not in the NFL, trying to get ready for the season. Ronald Jones, there were other red flags about him just coming out of USC. I mean, he never caught passes, and people even went back and looked at his high school career. He didn't catch passes in high school either. So I think he was overdrafted, and it was a disaster from the get-go. You remember in preseason, he was terrible in preseason. There were reports in training camp that he was fumbling the ball, that he was getting outplayed by this undrafted rookie last year, Sean Wilson. I don't know. He's going to be a really tough one. He's definitely a guy that I'm going to be like reading beat writer reports about throughout the offseason. And then Peyton Barber, I'm with you, kind of just a guy as a two down banger. I want to see them make a move for a running back. Like, how about bring in John Kelly from the Rams? Send the Rams a 6th round pick for John Kelly. I think that would be a good move after the Rams have made multiple running back additions. Or, go try to trade for one of those 49ers running backs. I mean, they got 4 running backs there: Tevin Coleman, Matt Breida.
Bring in Breida.
Yeah, bring in Breida. That would be sweet. I mean, they should send a 4th round pick to the 49ers for Matt Breida. This backfield is a challenging one for me. I do think that Peyton Barber sort of makes some sense. Last year he did as like a 13th, 14th, 5th round, 15th round pick. It was ADP, I think, stays in that same range. Then I think he's worth drafting, but I don't know. We'll see.
How about some wide receivers from our guy Ian Kenyon? He had Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Equanimeous St. Brown from the Packers, Nelson.
I could see it, but I could also not see it. So, and what I mean by that is I'm not a big fan of Matt LaFleur. I didn't think he did a very good job offensively with the Titans. So I'm not sure, other than, him having a good interview, and I'm sure the guy, is a bright guy. I don't know how he got that job, because when you look at the Titans offense, they look like they just couldn't find their way last year. And now he comes on, he brings on Nathaniel Hackett as an OC. And when you look back at Hackett's history, he's always had a good run game. But the receivers, dating back to Buffalo, when he had like Stevie Johnson, Robert Woods, Sammy Watkins, those are all talented dudes, but under him, they didn't have like big years. And then he goes to Jacksonville, and Jacksonville had he kind of made his name in 2017 when Jacksonville kind of took off, and made Bortles look like an actual starting quarterback. But when you look at the receivers there, you know, Hearns and Marquise Lee, and then last year with Westbrook and Keelan Cole, none of those guys really did anything, you know. So I'm not really feeling the Packers this year. And when I look at those receivers, I don't see anyone that like sticks out to me, like St. Brown and Valdez Scantling and Jake Kumerow. You know, they got Adams, who's the alpha male there in that offense. Jimmy Graham is kind of whatever, but they drafted Sternberger, who I'm a fan of from A&M. And then they got the running backs, right? Talented Aaron Jones. They've got Jamal Williams, who's a, you know, a decent back. And then I was a big fan of Dexter Williams coming out of Notre Dame. So even though he went late in the draft, he's kind of sneaky. So when I look at it, and then I look at Aaron Rodgers and who he is, I'm putting the over-under at 3 games before Rodgers throws a bitch fit on the sidelines with LaFleur and Hackett and like punches one of those guys in the face. And I'm telling you right now, he's going to be begging by halfway through the season, he's going to be begging for McCarthy to come back.
I love the very non-quantitative analysis there from Nelson Sousa. I like Dexter Williams too. We should talk about him on a forthcoming Dynasty show a little bit more, but I like that addition as well. I mean, can't argue too much. I mean, you know, Aaron Rodgers has been on the same page with Davante Adams and pretty much no one else. He, you know, he would get upset with the rookie receivers last year. You go back and read that, the Ty Dunn piece on Bleacher Report, and apparently he doesn't like Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and that kind of explained why last year, you know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling had some moments, and then he just kind of disappeared in the second half of the season. And Equanimeous St. Brown, I remember during games specifically when Aaron Rodgers would just give him that glare. You know, it's mm-hmm. like he must have ran the wrong route, or, you know, we don't exactly know what's going on, but he pissed off Aaron Rodgers, and that's not good either. So I don't know. Maybe one of those guys will step up and earn his trust during training camp in the preseason, and that would be awesome, because I do think that there's room for another guy to explode in the offense. But right now, I think it's very fair to be skeptical about those young receivers. Definitely guys to keep an eye on, but I really haven't been drafting Valdes-Scantling or St. Brown at all early on. And they always go like multiple rounds before I would take them.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those situations where there's smoke, there's fire. And I know a lot of Aaron Rodgers backers are going to chalk it up as, you know, it's nothing. But when you have Greg Jennings coming out in public and saying, you know, kind of talking pretty poorly about his, you know, former quarterback, I mean, you don't see that out of receivers, you know, with Tom Brady, right? You don't see Dion Branch, Randy Moss, even a guy like Ochocinco, who didn't really have a great time in New England. You don't see him talking poorly about Brady, but you have, you know, Greg Jennings talking poorly about him. You have that report of, you know, where Rodgers like hated Jeff Janis. And Jeff Janis, you know, I'm biased because I thought that kid, you know, could amount to something. He was an athletic freak coming out of college, you know, small. I think he went to Appalachian State, maybe a small school, but he was really talented. And people, I read some report where Rodgers kept him in the doghouse. Like, you know, he did something to him one day or ran the wrong route, and that was it. Like, you're dead to Rodgers. So I don't know. I think there's something to it. And, you know, I don't know if, you know, any of those receivers are going to, you know, gel with Rodgers. Because I agree with you, Evan. I saw the same thing where he just gives that look, and then it's like, oh, crap, you're dead to him. That's it. Game over.
Yeah.
Let's keep it moving. I bitch fit. First time ever we've said bitch fit on the Fantasy Feast podcast. Hopefully not the last. That was nice, Nelson. How about Carson Wentz? They got him a tackle, a running back, and a wide receiver with the first three picks.
Love the offense. There's nothing to dislike about the offense except Deuce Staley and how they manage that backfield. So that's for another day to talk about that. But as far as Carson Wentz and the offense around him, I mean, they brought back DeSean Jackson. That's what the offense was missing last year the previous year for Wentz was that deep downfield threat. And now they have Jackson there with Jeffrey. Jeffrey is now, you're talking about a guy that's completely healthy, great red zone weapon downfield. You got Nelson Aguilar, and then you've got, you know, one of the best tight ends in Zach Ertz. Dallas Goedert's there. Offensive line, they improved. So there's nothing, you know, I like Carson Wentz. I think he's in for a big year if he stays healthy.
Yeah, I think he's a huge buy. I'd rather listen to Ross talk about him. I mean, shoot. Hey, by the way, Ross, huge congratulations on the Eagles preseason game gig. I mean, I love watching preseason football, and it's going to be great hearing you. But do you have any thoughts? Because I feel like you have a really good finger on the pulse of the Eagles and just that entire situation and, you know, back injuries and everything. Do you have any thoughts on Carson Wentz?
Well, my first thought is that if he's healthy, he's going to play really, really well. Because I actually thought he played pretty decent last year, even though he was dealing with the back thing the whole time and coming off the torn ACL. I mean, coming off a torn ACL with a stress fracture in his back, and he still was playing at I thought, a solid level. The fact that he was interviewed recently and said he's not all the way back yet, I think we'll know a lot more whether or not he participates in any of the OTAs or minicamp. He said that's his goal. My guess is he doesn't, which means they're probably just being conservative with it, and rightfully so. But still means that, you know, since December, it's been 5 months and that has not healed yet. So then you have to wonder, okay, well, when will it be fully healed that they'll be willing to clear them? And so I don't have any inside information. That's just based on what he said. And I think you got to really, really keep your eye on that because Dr. Chow, who joins the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, said, you know, that stress fracture in his back, it's an area where they don't get it doesn't get a lot of blood and can be a long healing process. So certainly something to keep in mind. Some other names we've got here that weren't necessarily suggestions, but you just had them down, Evan. Robbie Anderson, the Jets receiver.
Yeah, he's kind of a give and take kind of guy for me. And what I mean by that is he's kind of the big play guy in their offense. But the Jets also brought in Le'Veon Bell, who's going to command a lot of touches and a lot of targets out of the backfield. They brought in Jamison Crowder, who is now going to work the middle of the field for them. So it's kind of addition by subtraction, you know, and vice versa for me. I could see Anderson where these guys coming in help him and keep the defenses honest. But at the same time, I could see it where he's not getting as much work in the offense because now they have more weapons around them. So I'm kind of still on the fence with him.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I like where he's been going in early drafts. He has been going like 7th to 9th rounds. I've been taking him a lot. I just love the on-field bond that he kind of showed with Sam Darnold this past year, especially down the stretch. I mean, last six to eight weeks, if you weren't playing Robbie Anderson in daily fantasy, you were, you know, donating to FanDuel or DraftKings. And, you know, if you had him on your season-long team, I mean, he was an every-week starter. But, you know, Quincy Enunwa had kind of fallen by the wayside at that point. He's back. He should be healthy. Chris Herndon entering his second year, as Nelson mentioned, Jamison Crowder is now there. So is he going to get the targets? And that's probably when it's going to come down to. He's always going to be a splash play player. Is he going to give us consistency, though? He really hasn't been a consistent player throughout his career, but he was consistent late last season. But is he going to be able to maintain that? I think that's a legitimate question. He's a great best ball pick because you don't have to choose which week to start him. You know, but how about in season long? I mean, we're wanting more consistency than what he's shown for most of his career.
How about Tyler Lockett? I know they drafted DK Metcalf, but with the Doug Baldwin news, Lockett could be in for an upgrade, Nelson.
Yeah, so here's a perfect example. I would probably say that Lockett and Anderson have similar skill sets, but the difference is I liked what Evan tweeted out last night, which was when Baldwin didn't play in the games that he didn't play, Lockett, I think, saw somewhere around 60% of his snaps in the slot, and that's huge. So that tells me that Lockett's not just that outside big play guy like Anderson would be in the Jets offense. He would probably go in as the slot and replace Baldwin in that offense. So he would be a guy that I'm much more, you know, inclined to draft over Anderson. I'm not quite sure exactly where they're going in comparison to each other in drafts yet, but Lockett would be a guy I'd be interested in.
Yeah, I really like Lockett. I think that the offseason has played out really well for him. You know, never want to see a guy like Doug Baldwin, just an awesome player, super underrated player, you know, retire. But he's got to do what's best for him. And if he does retire, Tyler Lockett's, I think, going to be their primary slot receiver with DK Metcalf and Gary Jennings playing outside. Who's the other guy there? I can't. I'm blanking here. But I think
Darbo, baby. Darbo.
Yeah, jeez. Tyler Lockett is going to be their slot receiver, and he's going to run higher percentage routes playing in the slot. I looked up his stats playing in the slot last year. He was targeted 29 times. He caught 26 of them. He averaged 17.5 yards per catch, and he scored 5 touchdowns in the slot on his slot targets last year. So he crushed it when he was playing the slot. I mean, 26 of 29 targets is awesome. Yeah, I would be very – and I would take him – I would definitely take him over Robbie Anderson this year.
What about Trey Quinn? I know he's a guy you were writing about, Evan. What do you think about Trey Quinn, Nelson?
He's an interesting guy. He's going to take over for Crowder in the slot there in Washington. I look at that Washington offense, and for some reason, right now, I just wasn't high on it, but I like what they did in the draft. At first, I was thinking they're just going to be complete garbage this year, and I was going to just stay away from them. But when you get Haskins, and then you take Terry McLaurin, who played with Haskins in college, and now you've added some speed on the outside, you know, to take over for Doxson, a guy that really hasn't, you know, figured it out at this point. You got Paul Richardson coming back. Jordan Reed, if he can stay healthy, is a mismatch at tight end. They're going to want to run the ball, but Trey Quinn seems like he's going to be like the chain mover, you know, where, you know, the little 5-6 yard catches over the middle of the field. So he's a nice little player. I could see him being fantasy relevant.
Yeah, I think he's an underrated player in general. You know, he went to LSU as a 5-star high school recruit, and then, you know, things didn't kind of work out there. Wide receivers, you know, if you have a son who's a wide receiver, tell him to not go to LSU, please. And then so he ends up transferring, and he has a huge year, his last year at SMU, where he played with Cortland Sutton. Cortland Sutton was the outside guy at SMU, and Trey Quinn was the inside guy. And Trey Quinn isn't super fast, like in a straight line, but, you know, you look at like his three cone, his shuttle times. I mean, he's a quick guy in a short area. He's going to have to stay healthy. He was hurt too much in his first season, but he got on the field and he produced, and he did that great dance from the office when he scored a touchdown on Thanksgiving. And, you know, we were on him in daily fantasy on Thanksgiving as a super cheap play. And, you know, we will pat ourselves on the back for that. But I think he can take a step in his second season. You look at the other receivers that they have, Josh Doctson, Kelvin Harmon, Paul Richardson. These guys are all McLaurin. These guys are all kind of outside receivers. And Trey Quinn is their slot guy. And they didn't add a tight end. So, you know, they're bringing back Jordan Reed and Jeremy Sprinkle and Vernon Davis. And I think Trey Quinn is kind of locked in into the slot, at least for now. And he's a guy that has been going. I mean, I have been before the draft, I was taking him in the second to last round, like every single time of my best ball drafts. And yeah, I think he's a great sleeper for 2019.
How about a couple more receivers from Ben Pickering? DJ Moore in Carolina, Chris Godwin with the Bucks, Nelson.
Love DJ Moore. So coming out of Maryland last year, I was really high on this kid. And then my fantasy football partner, David Hubbard, was actually fell in love with him, where, you know, to the point where it kind of got like kind of creepy stalker kind of thing, where I joked around with him that I'm like, you know, hey, you got to take it easy with your DJ Moore love. But this kid, I think, is like the real deal. I expect him to have a big year if, and it's a big if, Cam Newton is healthy. Now, Cam Newton's coming off that shoulder surgery, and, you know, we've seen this with Andrew Luck. I think you got to proceed with caution right now with that Carolina offense. But if Newton is ready to go and he's looking good in training camp, I think the sky's the limit for this kid this year. And then with Godwin, again, you know, it's the Bruce Arians factor. And I'm actually I'm starting to shy away a little bit from him because I feel like the hype is getting out of control with the kid. And he's been moving up in fantasy drafts to the point where it's almost getting there where he can't return any value because he's got to perform where he's being drafted. And you still have Mike Evans is the number one there. You still have O.J. Howard. You know, I don't know. I Godwin, I'm still on the fence with because I love the talent, but I feel like the hype's just getting a little bit out of control with him.
The hype is super strong on Chris Godwin. And I mean, I understand it, you know, but man, he's going early in drafts right now. I really like DJ Moore. This is going to be, you know, these guys are really talented dudes. And DJ Moore particularly is in a very good situation where he has a chance to get a ton of targets this year. You know, what does Greg Olsen have left? How long is he going to last? DJ Moore is like the clear number one in Carolina, whereas, you know, you're talking about O.J. Howard and Cameron Brait and, you know, of course, Mike Evans there in Tampa Bay. Chris Godwin, Bruce Arians has talked about using him in the slot, using him as in that Larry Fitzgerald, Reggie Wayne, Hines Ward role. Man, that would be really interesting for him, but I kind of want to see it to believe it. He's going to be a guy that I'm going to be watching. Where is he lining up in preseason games? I think that will be a good tell for us on Chris Godwin.
Awesome, awesome stuff, guys. I want to save some of the winners for part two, which we will get into, as well as all of the losers on next week's show. Should be awesome. Already looking forward to next week with the veteran fantasy losers. Speaking of losers, you are a loser if you haven't yet taken advantage of the betonline.ag promo code podcast1. They don't get sensitive. I'm not really saying you're a loser. It was just a segue or a transition to the read where I tell you about betonline.ag and how you can use the promo code podcast1 to get a 50% sign up bonus to bet on the Kentucky Derby or whatever else you want to bet on. Don't get sensitive. Just smile and go to betonline.ag and use promo code podcast1. Andrew Brandt was awesome today, by the way, on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Encourage you to check that one out for sure. Talking Josh Rosen, Tyreek Hill, and more on today's Ross Tucker Football Podcast. We'll be back next week with Evan's Fantasy Losers from a veteran perspective based on the draft. Other than that, totally stuffed. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.